Shalom, Chaverim. My friends, in our laudable efforts to identify, in modern nomenclature, the nations and peoples referred to by the prophet Ezekiel in his 38th chapter, we cast our inquisitive fishing lines into that pool of divine revelation known as the 10th chapter of Bereshit, that is, Genesis, wherein were 70 national fish swimming about and simply inviting our hooks. We landed quite a nice catch, and it yielded some interesting and significant results. We found the terms Gog, Magog, Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal to be heavily embossed with what we assumed to be the sign of the hammer and sickle. And whilst we do not declare that the scripture says these designations relate to modern Russia, yet we ourselves did suggest that if human opinion tended in that direction, it would be an opinion not lacking in etymological and ethnological substantiation. Of course, if modern Russia is not the Gogian invader of restored Israel, then it is only our human opinion that is wrong, not the scriptures themselves. You'll keep that in mind, won't you? But if my interpretation of the pertinent Ezekiel scriptures coincides with the actual revelation of those scriptures, and I think it does, and if my speculations regarding the identification of the nations and people mentioned therein is correct, and I think they might substantially be so, then we have moved into a strip of time more potent than anything conjured to the mind, even in this atomic age. I think we are justified and encouraged to go a-fishing again in that same pool, swimming around in sinister fellowship with the Gogian Japhetic shoal are a couple of Hamitic fish of striking appearance. In the piscatorial register, they appear as Cush and Put. It might pay us to hook them and subject them to ethnic scrutiny. Ah, that's very fortunate. We've got both fish on the one hook. Let us begin with Cush. In the ancient Egyptian inscriptions, the land of Ethiopia, immediately above Egypt itself, is termed Kish or Kesh, and it is a reasonable assumption that Cush pertains to that ancient region in northeast Africa bordering on Egypt and the Red Sea. You will observe that the English translation of the Bible, known as the King James Authorized Version, does not hesitate to translate the Hebrew word Cush as Ethiopia. What of our other catch, bearing the Hebrew name Put? The ancient historian Josephus says that Put was the founder of Libya, at present known to us as an area of North Africa made famous by World War No. 2. Just as the name Cush pertained originally to a son of the patriarch Ham, and the latter name in its biblical setting is quite a kosher name, I can assure you, so also the name Put has the same pristine relationship. Ezekiel associates another nation with our two Hamite discoveries, a nation called in Hebrew Paras, and reasonably certain to point to the nation we now know as Persia. Well, what further discoveries has our fishing expedition produced? We find that Gog's partisans, Paras, Cush, and Put, appear to be a regular Mohammedan pan-Islamic confederacy, if these three ancient names have any current application to Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. I see a couple of Japhetic fish swimming around, and I am sure we would like to get a look at them. Two very interesting specimens, Gomer and Togomar. Where then can we expect to locate today the ancient peoples known in Ezekiel's day as Gomer and Togarmah? Genesis chapter 10, our pristine fishing pool, reveals that Gomer was the eldest son of Japhet, the father of Ashkenaz, Riphat, and Togarmah. This is likely to prove an interesting investigation, for the country populated by the descendants of Gomer was anciently called Kimmeria, and these people moved from the Crimea along the Danube and populated Gomerland, a region identical with modern Germany. Indeed, reverting to a mention of Gomer's son, Ashkenaz, you will remember that in medieval times, Germany was known as Ashkenaz. With regard to the identity of Togarmah, we are haunted by a little obscurity. However, in geographical terms, it seems reasonably certain that Togarmah was an area in modern Armenia, later swallowed up by Russia and Turkey respectively, and Armenia is mentioned in history as the last branch of Gomer. Well now, let's sit down and resurvey our catch so far. Here then are the 10 ancient biblical names which I have classed with the predatory nations: Gog, Magog, Rosh, Meshech, Tubal, Paras, Cush, Put, Gomer, and Togarmah. Stripped of their ancient titular attire, they appear before us in modern habiliment, which suggests Soviet Russia and satellite Germany with a pan-Islamic Mohammedan Arabic confederacy which could include Turkey. This, then, is the array of predatory nations in their suggested modern nomenclature. You will notice, my friends, I use the word suggested. I dislike having the calloused digits of dogmatism seize my gentle jaws and, forcing them ruthlessly apart, ram hypothetical food, falsely labeled fact, down my grudging gullet. Such fabulous fare finds no digestive response within me, and I certainly couldn't and wouldn't subject you to processes which I myself dislike. No, my friends, rather do I invite you to be my guests at a nomenclatural buffet repast. I spread my findings before you. If you find them palatable, please partake. If unpalatable, by all means forbear. But please let your disfavor exhaust itself in the findings, and not in the Forbes who found the findings. We shall reserve to our next message the remaining nations known as Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish, and whose role seems to differ in some degree from that of the predatory nations. At this juncture, let us observe that the threat directed towards the beloved land and people of Israel is a formidable one, as we shall discern if we observe the points of the compass into which are pressed the various focuses of menace. These extremities are indicated by Magog in the north, Persia in the east, Ethiopia in the south, and Libya in the west. It is beyond doubt, then, that Ezekiel depicts restored Israel as being completely surrounded by evil intent. It is also extremely interesting to turn our eyes from the prophetic picture portrayed by Israel's great prophet and to gaze upon the present situation stretched out before us upon the canvas of current history. That it is resemblance, none can deny. That there is coincidence, some will doubtless claim. However, that the present resemblance could develop into full coincidence and hence merits our watchful scrutiny is the attitude I suggest to you, my listeners. Whatever may be the situation, however, the extremity of apprehension will not be justified in Israel, but in Israel's enemies. One of our rabbis of blessed memory has interpreted correctly the source of Israel's ultimate salvation and deliverance in that very day and in that very situation. Here are his words. 10 times did the Shekhinah descend upon the world, and in the future it will be so once in the days of Gog and Magog, as it is written, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. That is the end of the quotation, but we conclude this message with another. One of the leading Jewish scholars of our time has succinctly epitomized the general trend of a vast flow of Jewish belief when he writes of it as follows, and here I quote him, "But the Messianic age reaches its culmination only after the war with Gog and Magog, when Messiah Ben David appears in all his glory." That is the end of the quotation, but it should bring from every heart the prayer, Yavo Mashiach Ben David. Even so, come, Messiah Ben David. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.